Well, I started off doing air crew and then finished up, because of accidents and so forth, I finished up in ground staff as a radio telegraphist.
A radio telegraphist? What does that entail?
Morse code.
Can you still speak Morse code?
I can.
Can you give me your name in Morse code? Is that possible?
Oh. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. How's that?
Well, I will fact check that later on. So, Jack, tell me about where you were sent to during the Second World War.
Well, this is getting on in years because I didn't get into the Air Force until 43. On my 18th birthday, I was on the train from Mildura and did my training in Melbourne, Parkes in New South Wales, Ballarat, and finished up at Point Cook to do that the radio. The funny part about all that is that I had gone through all that radio experience with aircrew. When I transferred to ground staff, they made me do the whole lot again. Yeah.
That must have been a bit of a frustrating experience to have to redo training.
It was. It was, because I was one of the very few, at least, that they had increased my qualifications and I got more pay than the other fellas. So. But that was it, yes. It was frustrating, because I could have been serving doing that 6 months before.
Was there quite a pressure to enlist at that time? You were a very young man, and probably by the time you enlisted you were only just able to, but was there a lot of pressure to join up?
Well, I'd served in the Air Training Corps for about 18 months, from 16 till that day. There were three of us in the high school together in the same form. We all were on the train that particular night going to Melbourne. And we all finished up in air crew as trainees. They finished up, both finished up as straight air gunners, if you know what that means. And I'm the only one that went down to ground staff, and because I thought, with the qualifications I had, it seemed a bit stupid to go as a straight air gunner. I mean, I wasn't a very good shot.
How have you seen people's interest in not only your war service but Australia's military history change over the decades since the Second World War?
I think it's changed dramatically, and we're all very pleased to know and see that the young people have taken a lot more interest in what happened. Not the blood and gore and that sort of thing, but why these things happen and where we went.
How sharp are your memories of that point in your life? Do you find now that you remember things from your service during the war perhaps better than some of the intervening years?
I don't think any more. I think my memory's reasonably good still. Though, don't ask my wife, she won't agree with that. But generally speaking, yeah, my memory's quite good. But I don't hearken back to those things.
So tell me a little bit about your time in the Air Force. Where were you sent to in Northern Australia, and what was the day-to-day life there like?
Well, I suppose the most important thing is that there were no women on our place up there. None, other than the Aboriginals. And there was an Aboriginal mission within a couple of miles of our station. We were allowed to go down there at any time we liked. But the interesting thing about it was there was no connection between the men that were there and the Aboriginal people, women particularly. We had a connection with the men, because two or three of us, being radio operators, we were working shift work, so we were able to have the middays off, and instead of going to bed and sleeping like most people would do, we'd go down to the mission station, pick up a couple of the boys down there, same two every time, and go bush. And it was fantastic. Because I think I'd go back a long way, because my mother was very interested in that sort of thing. And I think she gave me that feeling of wanting to know. And I did. I learnt a lot up there. Great.
How eye-opening was it to get on a train from somewhere like Sunraysia and end up in the north of Australia? What sort of experience was that like?
Well, you're right. It's an experience, because you had no idea where you were going. We got on the train in Melbourne, went to Adelaide, stayed overnight in Adelaide, put on the the GAN, and up we went. And the GAN was the GAN in those days. It was pretty brief. I can still remember going somewhere between Noonanadda and Alice Springs. And the windows were being pelted with mud because it was raining and blowing dust storms. So, yeah, unbelievable. So we arrived at Alice Springs, went up to Darwin. We were put into a pool of men and then sorted out, told where to go, which was part of the Air Force anyway. You were always told where to go.
And so the crews, the air crews that you worked with up in the north of Australia, where were they flying in and out of?
Well, they were flying out of Gove, and they were going up into the islands north of Darwin. Gove, which is really on the corner of the Gulf of Carpentaria and the Arafura Sea. And so there were islands up there that the Japanese were on, and our fellas were going out dropping bombs on, mainly on watercraft.
And so the war ended and you managed to get a soldier settlement area around Robinvale.
Yep.
What was that process like?
Oh, fantastic, because I had established a block in Mildura with my brother, but it was small, 17.5 acres, and he had married, and I thought, well, there's no way we're going to live on this property together. So at that stage, I had met a young lady at a scout jamboree, and we decided that we couldn't live in Mildura. I had qualifications that I could get to land down here, so we applied for that and got granted.
What did you originally grow?
Sultanas and gordos, all for dried fruit.
And so when it comes to how this area has changed, and you've seen these soldier settlement blocks, you know, perhaps pass on to the next generation, are there still lots of children of the original soldier settlers around?
No, there are not. See, the point was, I think, that those of us that were from the Second World War, I think we had the feeling we just have to educate our children. And of course, the worst thing is educating your children, you lose them eventually. So many of our children are now dispersed around the world, in fact. I mean, I've heard so many people saying, oh, I met so-and-so in London from Robinvale, you know, and it's true. But all over the world you would find Robinvale people, America, England, anywhere else.
What was it like farming here in the decades after the Second World War, given that it was a soldier settlement community?
Well, it was a lot of hard work, actually, because most of the work we had to do was physical work, digging trenches, drains, digging holes for putting posts in and things like that. We didn't have machinery at that time. The machinery sort of came toward the end of the settlement. Going back into the early 50s and late 40s, a lot of the work was just done by shovel and bolt, you know, strong, vigorous men. And yet some of those men had served in the war, in the Japanese prisoner of war camps, came home absolutely skin and bone, and yet they had to work a fruit block. But they did.
Given that all that physical labour and the fact that some people were, you know, recovering from their war injuries like that, was it like winning the Tats, or was it not quite perhaps as cheery as all that?
No, it was like winning the Tats. It's quite true. I mean, it was a gift. You didn't have to pay for anything. It was always there, providing you did as you were told, because there were members who were given a block and either didn't want to work it or couldn't work it or whatever, but they were told to move on, so they didn't keep their blocks. Actually, it nearly happened to me, because I was told that if I didn't come down, sell my share of the property in Mildura, if I didn't come down within a certain time, I couldn't stay.
So what did you do after that?
Well, I imposed on the Soldier Settlement Commission. They had supervisors here. And I spoke to one of the supervisors and I said, well, if you can impose on the rural finance to make my money available to my brother in Mildura, see if you can get finance for him, which is what happened. He did, and so I finished up getting the money from that, and I was home and hosed.
So would you say, all in all, that the soldier settlement area around here was a success?
Oh, yes. Probably one of the best successes of soldier settlement, anyway.